Hi. I'm home for the holidays, and I technically should be asleep, and I'm up and walking, so if you hear a bunch of nonsense, it's because I'm getting ready for bed, because it is, I guess now it's technically Christmas, but it's Christmas Eve in my brain, because I haven't slept yet, and my whole family's asleep. My little brother's fiance, they got me a cat tree for Christmas. So she showed up and she presented me with a gift, and I was like, the fuck is this, you little bitch? You already spoiled my cat. And I opened it and immediately burst into tears because she asked me to be her bridesmaid in their wedding. So that's where I'm at today. This is not the point of this audio, but I have ADHD, so. Oh, the bed that I'm sleeping on is loud. You could not have sex in it. You could. It would be a performance. Anyway, a couple days ago, I made a joke about how if no one stopped me, I would make a 20-minute audio about my D&D character. And y'all were like, why would we stop you? And I was like, because I'm unhinged. And you were like, okay, we know. And we also want to know. So this is that audio. And I've been in a really bad place recently. And I'm not going to talk about it because I will burst into tears. But I feel really giddy. So thank you for letting me talk about him. Because he is, honestly, I've been in therapy my whole life. But like, he has been his own brand of therapy. His name is Nazar Droth. If he has a middle name, I haven't given him one. He is about 130 years old. He is a drow, so a dark elf. He's got beautiful purple skin. I'll probably have his like character art that I had commissioned when I first made him in this tweet. But you've all seen it by now. I tweet him all the time. He's pretty tall. And as of late, he has really sharp, jagged teeth, more body hair than an elf would normally have. He is slowly turning into a spider. I won't be talking about it a whole lot just for arachnophobia reasons, but when I explain his life path, it'll make sense. So he is the middle child of the Droth family. He's got an older sister. Also, this is when I should tell you that I've been playing him for 3 IRL years. So a lot has happened to my poor boy. He has an older sister, her name's Casilla, and he has a younger sister, her name's Siren. And his parents are Aslan and Tirlin Droth. He is the prodigal. I think it's prodigal. He is the favorite. They had his older sister. His parents love each other in a very uniquely toxic way. They are enabling each other. They are incredibly dangerous people, but they are even more dangerous because they are a unit. And his dad was the greatest warrior of the drow people, and his mom is the most noteworthy drow educator. She has her own college. So in drow society, they are some of the oldest and most important people. And that has spread through the land of Dunmar, which is what the drow community is called in this setting. It's a homebrew world. It's like a southern gothic, like western creepiness entire setting that my DM has come up with. Though, the dwarves in this setting are mine. He let me do an Abria Iyengar and hop in and create the lore for one specific area and one specific race, but that's not relevant. I can talk about that at any time if you want. And the cool underground undead dragon encounter where my players were fighting in the ribcage. Anyway, I'll just say, Nazar Droth is a very, very important person from very, very important family. And his big sister, her name's Casilla, they had kids as tools. Like, they didn't want kids because they love children. They wanted kids because they needed tools. And Casilla was not good enough, and they realized very quickly, so they had Nazar about 50 years later. And when they realized that if something happened with Nazar, they wouldn't have any backup, they had his little sister Siren about 10 years later, which is very close in years for an elf. And also, it's important to note, at 130, Nazar is just barely out of, like, the teenage years of elfhood. He's still very much a child. And his older sister. Well, actually, I guess she's I'm trying to remember. I think she's like a little over 200, so I guess she's like more closer to 100 years older than him. So when Nizar was born and old enough to learn piano and violin and all the bard things that his mom taught him, they pitted him against his big sister. And she taught him as much as she could, and then he moved on to working with his mom, and his parents had Siren as an insurance policy in case something happened to their little savant. They would force her to take his role. So, as you can imagine, he has an older sister who deeply resents him because he was always better than she was, and he has a little sister that he has felt the need to protect for his whole life. I guess maybe when Nizar was about 70, they pretty much sold his big sister off to a political marriage with one of the most wealthy and influential human families, the Coates family. They own the D&D equivalent of Disney World. It's called Opportunity. And Cassilla left and he had not seen her again for a very long time. He only saw her, you know, somewhat recently. And he would send her letters, but never hear back. Really, all of the communication was on her terms. And it was just him and Siren for a really long time. And their tutor, Lady Amelia, who was akin to their mother, when asked, what do you regret most? Lady Amelia honestly said that she could not intervene in more of the punishments. She took most of the punishments that the children were supposed to get so that they could exist. And in this world, there's something called the Council of Six. And there's a representative of every race. Well, the Prime Minister is a half-elf because in the early years of, you know, like any unfortunate land grab situation, there was a war between the elves and the humans, and in the peace treaty they signed half-elf, half-human, half-elf, into prime ministry. The bed's gonna make a noise because I'm gonna lean back. No one judge me. Yep, there it is. And everyone really kind of likes this guy for the most part. There is the wood elves, and then there is Dragonborn, who are the representative of the native species. There's the gnomes, the dwarves. Let's see. There's the Prime Minister. Gnomes, dwarves, elves, Dragonborn. Who's the last one? Oh, humans, I guess. Maybe? I can't remember. All this to say, the drow have no seat on that council. And that deeply, deeply upset Nizar's parents. And so to pull for as much political power as they could, they made some sort of symbiotic, toxic relationship with the gnomish councilman. His name is Jamorn Bonibus. They presented Nizar to him as a tool, as something that could be bought and used for espionage. And at the time, everybody assumed that the Droth family were practitioners of the College of Glamour, because they had dressed up their abilities in this beautiful, whimsical fashion. So he performed, and on one of his first missions, not that anybody was aware that he worked with Jamorn, it was kept a very close secret, though the Droths did step in as overseers to Jamorn's council. Jamorn realized that he was not of the College of Glamour, he was of the College of Whispers, which is a college that is not well respected by bards. And because Jamorn noticed, he threatened the Droth family, and they offered a deal, and that deal was he could own Nizar. That would be his tool to do with as he pleases, and they would be his counsel, because now they knew things about each other. Nizar had been reporting to his parents about Jamorn's doings, and they kind of were, you know, blackmailing each other into a corner. and in turn they sold their child to this man, and Nazar lived most of his life traveling around and performing and doing some shady things that mostly was information gathering. They nicknamed him the Whisper, so his correspondence would be signed W. And he did all of this because he knew that if he stopped, they would make Siren take his place. And she was pretty much a secret to the majority of the world. Not many people know he has a little sister. But he does everything he does to protect her. And the party met and they kept... Nazar tried to keep things pretty close to his chest. He found out that his parents worshipped a deity called the High Priestess. All of the deities in this world are after the tarot... I want to say major arcana, but I think there's some outside of it. And the High Priestess is essentially this version of Lolth. And his parents had been slowly indoctrinating him into the magic that she consumes for his whole life, and he didn't know. So all of this is going on. And when he meets his party, he is a spoiled little bitch. One of the first combats we had was like alligators in a swamp, and our druid barbarian was pulled under and was drowning, and Nazar really, really thought about not helping him because it would get his shoes wet. I can't tell you, I think the amount of spell slots wasted on like create food and water and they do like prestidigitation, which isn't a spell slot, but they go out of their way to like clean Nazar and his clothes because he's a miserable person to be around when he's dirty. He's not like that anymore. He's been through a lot. He saw someone die for the first time in his life. He killed somebody for the first time in his life. He almost died for the first time in his life, and that has happened many times since then. And through this, he developed kind of a crush on the fighter, mostly because Nazar's never had friends. And so when somebody was being nice to him, he didn't understand that it was like a platonic kindness. Like, he never told, by the way, the fighter's name is Confidence Dywell. He never told Confidence he had any feelings for him, but he in the same way that me as a person in my younger years couldn't really differentiate kindness, Nazar couldn't. And it makes, also, it feels important to tell you, Nazar Droth is asexual. He is panromantic in that I don't think he has enough understanding of romance nor interest in figuring out, like, defining. He just is sort of like, if I like you, I like you, but I have no interest in physical intimacy. Like, he'll hug, okay, I mean, he started hugging people, which is a huge deal, and he loves to like be close to his friends, but he's got no interest in sexual intimacy. Anyway, he got a crush on the fighter for a while, and then he realized what friendship was. And, like, I have some letters, like, I could read them to you in the future if you're interested. But I have some letters that I wrote to his little sister as they correspond back and forth, where he's like, I have friends. One of the, like, famous lines that my DM likes to throw at me, I wrote something to the effect of, like, breathe because I am living more than I ever have. And he's grown a lot. But when we met the party, Nazar had a deadline. He needed to make it to this specific performance across the country. And we were taking the newly created railroad called the Polaris. And we got off the train to do something, and it made us miss the train back. So we had to catch the next one. And because of that, Nazar was like heavily punished. It's how he got his... I think it's level 3 college stuff, or maybe 5, I can't remember. It's how he got the Words of Terror and the Blades of, and Psychic Blades. I think that's 3. But he was punished by his parents, and they had to push off this performance. Eventually, we made it to the location. There was a lot of things that have happened in the meantime. We made it to this location, and the performance happened. Nazar was working for his boss and had sort of gotten his party in on this, which sucks because, like, they're his best friends. The Druid Barian is one of the most important people in Nazar's life. He allows himself to be the punching bag when Nazar tries to figure out how to feel any negative emotion. He's never been allowed to be angry or sad or frustrated or anxious or any of that. So, like, when all of that bubbles up, he, like, we joke regularly that we could never stream this game. One, because we would, like, play differently. And two, because everyone would hate me. Nazar is a character who, like, he throws tantrums and walks away and demands attention. And the party and the players think it's very funny. And it is, like, very in character for the way that he was raised. He never learned how to process those feelings, so he just storms off. And then it becomes their problem to fix it. But Garrod, the Druidbarian, who is more barbarian than Druid, often lets himself be a punching bag so Nazar can scream at him. Or if something's, like, there's so many emotional moments where, like, Garrod looks at Nazar for instruction, and Nazar has never made a decision for himself in his life, and now these people are treating him like he's a leader. And, like, in the last game that we had, Nazar went unconscious and woke up to Garrod wild-shaped into a bear raging on top of him, like, standing over him so that he could, you know, protect him. And, like, their relationship, like, makes me cry thinking about it, because they're just, like, they needed each other so badly. But we got to this performance. The rest of the party was tasked with this heist to get these particular items and get the fuck out. And there would be a distraction. And Nazar was just supposed to get on stage and play. And he was playing with this man who was his mom's new prodigy, which is a huge deal because no one ever makes it through, like, a couple months with Aslan Droth. And the man was the son of the person that taught Aslan everything she knows, so it was a big deal. Nazar actually really kind of liked this guy, but then as we were on stage, there was an assassination attempt against the prime minister. He survived, barely, but obviously Nazar didn't expect that to happen, and the curtain dropped, and his mom and dad walked on stage with his little sister. Mom cast hold person, dad hit him, like, over the head with his sword, until he went unconscious, and the party was ambushed. They were turned in, tricked, used as fall guys, and framed as accomplices. And Nazar woke up at the bottom of a hole, a well, essentially, with no water, just like a hole in the ground with a cage on top, in prison because his parents and Jamorin had framed him for the assassination attempt. Essentially, they just said, throw away the whole child. And he made a deal with his deity because he thought, you know, he's going to the gallows and he wanted to save his friends. He made a deal with his deity to take her curse. It gave him spider climb and a couple other cool things that he rarely uses. But now he has become so cursed that he can only eat meat and he can't open doors. And if he rolls a one or a two, it's a fail, a crit fail. It's getting bad. But he's essentially an all-terrain vehicle because he also has a broom of flying. So really, they just need to give him a swim speed and I'm sold. Anyway. He accepted that deal, drank her blood, took on the curse, and the next day, some NPCs that we had met very early in the campaign, they're this pair of wood elves, broke us out of jail under the orders of their superior, and we were escorted into the desert to this very small camp of sentries, sentinels, of the justice, or the chariot, which is the religion. And when they walked through the door, it was his big sister. She'd come to save them. I cry thinking about it. It was the most satisfying way to be introduced to that character. And we got to spend some time with her for a while. But Nazar had a dream where the High Priestess was offering him the ability to kill Jamorin, and he stabbed her in the dream. He stabbed Jamorin in the dream, and when he woke up, he was plunging his dagger into his sister's chest. And he had stolen all of her magic from her and was, like, killing her, like she was dying. and we had to, like, free a djinn or whatever to, you know, save her. And now we're on the run, obviously. We recently stole, fucking stole an airship, which only happened because Nazar has the spell sending, and he had sent a really petty message to this NPC that they worked with forever ago that he really liked. Her name's Crow. She's a tabaxi rogue. I really like her. She's my favorite NPC. But he had sent a message because he thought that she was on his boss's side, and everyone assumed he was dead, so he sent her a message that was just like, I took the fall for this, but I won't let myself be the only one that goes down. And she, like, obviously sending, you can send a message back, and she was like, you're alive? And then she showed up because she, you know, realized where they were, because we were trying to stop Jamorne's people from getting this relic that we've been chasing. The relic is very, very important to the Druidbarian. We're also being chased by the Archmage that is our fighter's mother, and the consequences of our cleric being a serial killer and the rogue having originally worked for the man that betrayed us. All this to say, we are all fucked. And Crow showed up and was like, Jamorne betrayed me as well. I'm on your side. I'm going to help. And she was. This wasn't a lie. She was very upset because she was very, very loyal to the man that she worked for, which is the one that Jamorne set up to take the fall for his illegal arms dealings. And she helped us steal this airship. And now we're just the proud owners of an airship. But, like, we're trying to figure out what to do next, all this to say. And that's where he's at. That is a very simplified version of 3 years of anecdotal shit. Like, there's so much that's happened. We went through a dream sequence to try and find information about our barbarian druid's past, because he is an amnesia character. And we had to go through his dreams to find it. And in the dream sequence, we went through all of our dreams, all of our memories. And Nazar's memory was, you know, pretty graphically abusive of his parents teaching, his mom teaching him, you know, to play piano. And at the end, his dad was like, remember, Nazar, there are no heroes, only victors. And as we were walking out, Garrod was like, was it always like that? And Nazar was like, for about 100 years, yeah. And the rogue, Lester, stopped him and was like, for what it's worth, I think you're a hero. And I think when this campaign is over, I'm going to get a tattoo that says, no victors, only heroes. And I love them so much. I would die for all of them. Like, the last combat. I'm just gonna, like, give you a TLDR of the last combat because it, like, was really emotional. But, like, I'm gonna give it to you from the perspective of our fighter. The combat started, and Garrod turned to Nazar and was like, cut the ropes, because we were trying to steal an airship, right? And there were 6 ropes all attached to anchors. And I, like, listened, and I said it out loud. I was like, yeah, no, Garrod said cut the ropes. That's what Nazar's doing. And the player's like, do what you want. I was like, no, this is important. Garrod looks to Nazar for insight and direction all the time, and he does it. So if Garrod's going to tell Nazar what to do, he's going to fucking do it. So he starts cutting the ropes, and Alora, our cleric, is also cutting the ropes, and everyone else is fighting. Nazar has innate spell casting as a drow. And he cast darkness on our rogue because our rogue has Eldritch Sight. So anybody that was in the darkness with him would have attacks at disadvantage against him because they can't see in magical darkness. And he would have attacks. He'd have advantage on every attack, thus always giving him sneak attack. So really all I had to do was just hold concentration on that. And then the cleric cast Spirit Guardians, but she's an evil aligned cleric. So her Spirit Guardians look like melting flesh golems. And our barbarian was wild-shaped into a bear and was raging, so frothing at the mouth. Confidence, action surges, and shoots all of the ropes to get us free. And he turns around and he sees a blob of darkness moving about 160 feet around because he has my broom of flying. I guess it's probably like 100 feet around, because I think it's 50 and he had, yeah, I think it's about 100 feet around. And a circle of melting flesh golems, a wild-shaped raging bear with a drow on top with a crossbow. And I took one solid hit, and I have adamantine armor that I got 2 IRL years ago and have not been crit. I got crit, and it didn't knock me under, but the second one knocked me under, and then it saved my fucking life. The rogue sold this for me forever ago, so the player was like, it finally happened! But it saved my life, because if you're unconscious, every attack counts as a crit, and a crit is 2 failed death saves, but because I couldn't be crit, it only lost 1 death save. And on my second, like on the first time I rolled a nat 20, popped up to 1, had not used my 4th level spell slot, and I cast Dimension Door on myself. That was the first time I've used the spell. I've had it for months and months and months, but it hasn't been relevant. So I used it, dropped through the floor. I like looked up at Drew at Garrett and was like, I'm going to be fine. And I cast Dimension Door and moved myself about 100 feet just to get out of the combat. And then I was fine. But, man, it was cool. It was good. Anyway, that's it. That's Nazar. If you want to hear any of the letters or stories or whatever I've written, I'm happy to share them. But also, I recognize this was very self-indulgent, so you don't have to see them. Thank you for listening. I love you all.